I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
She's a writer and comedian who's worked on Portlandia and Upload. It's Megan Nuringer.
Yay. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Megan.
I'm not allowed to say guys. I shouldn't be saying
you
that.
Can.
I'm trying to not address people that way.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So what do you say? Folks? Folks is Hi. Good.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I actually
hey,
just, I just avoid addressing people. I just don't. I just don't even say hi. I've just gone into straight up.
Just immediately launch into like really deep personal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who you are.
Smart, yeah,
you'll get something right. Are you a fan of horseback riding?
Great. It feels like you're asking me, am I a horse girl?
No.
Are you a horse player?
Are you?
No,
a horse person, right?
Well, actually, when I was young, I was. My crazy aunt I grew up around horses because one of my aunts had a farm in Maryland, actually.
Wow.
One of the only nice. Jews with a farm with horses, and I learned to ride and take care of them there for just like a couple of summers. My parents would send us kids there while they worked on their marriage. I'm not kidding.
Send the kids to the farm.
Send them to summer camp. We're sending you to a farm.
We were sent to Aunt B's farm while they tried to figure out their lives. It was free camp, and I was around horses. And
did you have to like do stuff on the farm, like feed the chickens and the pigs and milk the cows?
Yes.
Wow.
We raised baby calves one summer, and then that winter we ate them.
Oh.
Like, I milk fed them, and then. Yeah, and then later it was like, and now veal. And we were like, well, I guess then I know they had a good life, but this is weird. I love them.
Were they more delicious than your typical veal?
Well, you know, food, the best seasoning for food is trauma. And so really makes it taste. So it was just like all different levels of trauma.
Being That's sent why away. Pate is so good, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they stuff it in the, they force feed the geese.
Yeah,
I believe so. With like some sort of tube, leave it to the French.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I was always told, go ahead.
I would love to be force fed through a tube. That's how hungry I am.
Yeah. Can you force feed the willing?
That's true. What a paradox you're in.
I never grew up around horses, but I was always told don't approach them from the back. So now I give them maybe too wide of a berth if I see a horse. I'm like, I know you're not supposed to come up like, because you'll get kicked in the chest and crack your sternum.
No, I think that's wise. Horses are, what's that word? They're
skittish.
Yes, exactly. Skittish.
Interesting. So there's like a horse paddock down the block from where I live, and every afternoon they take horses up and down the street for a little walk on our street. It's very sweet.
Are you a horse girl?
No, not particularly.
That's as far as it goes for you?
It's pretty much. From as I'm doing dishes in my kitchen, I can be like, oh, it's horse o'clock.
You hear the clopping? Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's one here at Halloween where it was just one person on a horse and they were dressed as a clown, but there was like no one around them. And I just saw them through my window and I was like, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen. It's just this depressed clown riding a horse through the suburbs of Los Angeles.
That's so scary and sad. I interpret it as terrifying.
Macabre.
Indeed.
I never like you could do horseback riding in Griffith Park, you know, like on the trails.
Yeah.
But it seems awful because it's just dust and heat.
Also, those horses are like bottom of the barrel horse. they're like
the horses down the block for me.
Yeah, they're not great horses, not to be classist, but these aren't Central Park, New York City horses. Arabian horses. These are horses that are like, please kill me. You have to wear helmets. It's not like this like cutie, like Instagrammable horseback ride. You're teetering on the edge of Griffith. Like they're
have
always
you done
on
it?
A, I've done it. And it's
you've done it.
Scary and that it's very it's more depressing than a clown on a horse.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm not going to do it. I don't like zoos for the same reason. Like these animals, nobody, they don't like this. They don't want this.
No, I just read today that at a Sri Lankan zoo, because it was shut off from like visitors during the pandemic, the birth rate of every animal at the zoo went up like 25%.
Wow. They don't have that pressure.
They're not being looked at. They're not exhibitionists. Yeah.
Not dumb kids like knocking on the glass.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, shy little animals. They're like, leave us alone. Let us knock our animal boots.
Are you a fan of the fantasy genre? Like a sword and sandals?
Not at all.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
My interest in this movie starts and stops really well with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm a huge fan.
Was I not supposed to say who it is?
No, okay. You can. No. That's fine. You love Arnold?
Oh my God. I love Arnold as I live and breathe. Arnold is my number one.
Really?
Yes. And I know that he's dabbled in republicanism, but he's really not Republican. He's very progressive.
Well, compared to Republicans these days, anyways. Yeah.
I mean, compared to Democrats, he's like doing a lot for voting rights and he's anti-gerrymandering. And he's like a full-blown lifelong hero of mine. I truly
have do you remember when you'd go to like a California airport, there'd always be the governor like t-shirts, things like that?
I don't think
were you guys here those years in California? You go to any airport gift shop, there's a shirt that said the governor. That's where you get them.
That makes sense. People visiting would really want them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite like all-time Arnold like film? Is it this one?
It's this one. This is my favorite all-time film.
What about a favorite comedy of his? A Twins, a Kindergarten Cop.
Well, I know it's not in the comedy genre, but I also really love Total Recall because it does
Total Recall's amazing.
Kitsch comedy in it and has some cheekiness. And so I almost picked Total Recall, but I was like, they must have seen it. Nobody sees Conan the Barbarian anymore. I have to do that.
You zig when everyone else zags.
You know, I have to say, I think Arnold always brings humor to his parts. So it's, you know, everybody's like Kindergarten Cop or Twins, but I actually don't think when he's in an explicit comedy, he's as funny as when he's doing, you know, an action movie, but he's bringing this charming comedy to it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've done thesis work on Arnold. I got my PhD in Arnold.
You know which one I think is like an underrated gem is The Running Man.
Oh, amazing movie.
Oh, yeah. Richard
it's
Dawson.
So fun.
Yeah. Yeah, when he does basically any kind of sci-fi Arnold, I think is really great.
Were you a fan of Terminator Dark Fate, the most recent Terminator movie?
I didn't watch it.
You know what? It's pretty good. Better than really? You think it's good. Yeah, it's better than the other like Terminator sequels. It's not terrible. I saw it in a theater with a very low bar, and I was like, you know what? I've seen worse movies this summer.
Let me ask you something superficial. How do you look? You know, he's getting up there in years, and I'm, you know, because he do.
Well, they gave him like a beard. He's got gray in it. You know what I mean? But he didn't look too like crazy, like, you know, like fillers or anything.
Oh yeah, I mean, I keep up, but just, you know, can he do the stunts? Is he seeming?
He wasn't really called to much. Okay. He's mostly there standing, smart, shooting rifles.
Okay. Honestly, on this day, have it be recorded. May he live forever. May this man live forever. I love him so much.
Right.
And in our action, in whatever,
in our physical reality. As
yes,
well.
Please.
Do you follow him on like his socials? Like he lives. He has like a donkey in the house.
Yes. He has Whiskey and Lulu. He has like a donkey and like a mini horse. I fully follow him. And he had quite the pandemic with them, always encouraging people to stay home and like, you know, feed your own Whiskey and Lulu cookies, stay home. I also subscribe to his newsletter. I sound like a psychotic fan, but I'm not like a stalker. He has this wonderful newsletter he started sending out if you wanted to subscribe. And I promoted it on Twitter after I was like, this is excellent writing. It's so inspiring. Arnold's the best. And he fucking retweeted me.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. It was one of the, that was as close to Arnold as I've ever gotten. Oh, and it was spectacular. True moment of joy for me.
What does he write about in his newsletter?
His life, things that are inspiring him, people he's worked with. He shows deep appreciation and gratitude for wonderful people he's come across in his career. It's just all positive words. It's
so not so much about his like adultery scandals.
No. And by the way,
okay, yeah, that may be a fun postscript.
Not, by the way, he's not the first man to commit adultery, but he
that's
might
not
be
what
the
I've
first,
heard. That's
he might be the first to truly acknowledge the son that he had out of wedlock.
That's true.
And promotes him on his Instagram and is like, I love you so much. I'm proud of you.
That's nice. That's
he did sweet. Not allow his mistake to shame the child that came out of it. And that's I will sweet. Always respect
very evolved.
That. That's real integrity.
Get that's kind of man. How I feel about Anne Heche. Like she got so like run through the ringer for like being open about being mentally ill, like having a mental illness, a true like breakdown. And like people were like, oh, she's crazy. But like, no, she's being upfront and honest about what she went through. And like, you can't drag someone for that. Like that's beautiful and like empowering. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think maybe, I don't know much about her, but I don't know if she's as beloved as Arnold.
Yeah,
she doesn't quite have the resume.
A safe 6 days, 7 nights isn't the cultural touchstone I hoped it would be. But Volcano, not terrible.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't think I've seen it.
Speaking of fires from down below, no.
Okay. All right.
Today, in case you couldn't figure it out, we're talking about Conan the Barbarian. John, what's the deal with Conan the Barbarian?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Conan the Barbarian. It was directed by John Milius, written by Milius and Oliver Stone, based on the character created by Robert E. Howard. And it tells the story of a young, muscular barbarian warrior named Conan, who seeks vengeance for the death of his parents at the hands of Thulsa Doom, the leader of a powerful snake cult. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, James Earl Jones, Sandel Bergman, Ben Davidson, Cassandra Gaviola, Jerry Lopez, Mako, and Max von Sydow. It was released on May 14th, 1982, and grossed somewhere between $68.9 million and $79.1 million, reports vary, off a budget of $20 million. Critical reactions were polarized. Some condemned the movie for being too violent, while others claimed the action scenes were the best parts of the film. And others wrote that the film's depicted violence failed to meet their expectations. Roger Ebert called it a perfect fantasy for the alienated pre-adolescent, whereas Richard Schicknell of Time called it a sort of psychopathic Star Wars, stupid and stupefying. The Hollywood Foreign Press gave Sandel Bergman the Golden Globe Award for New Star of the Year, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was nominated for Worst Actor at the Razzie Awards, but he lost to none other than Lord Laurence Olivier. A sequel, Conan the Destroyer, was released in 1984 with Schwarzenegger and Mako reprising their roles. And a third entry to the trilogy, Conan the Conqueror, was planned for a 1987 release, but the film fell into development hell and the script was eventually adapted into Call the Conqueror, which was released in 1997. And that is the deal with Conan the Barbarian.
I feel the need to add that I have seen Conan the Destroyer and Grace Jones is in it. And she's phenomenal in it. She's the best part of that movie, kind of steals it from Conan.
She's kind of the best part of every movie she's in.
Like the Peabody Holiday Special. Sure.
So Megan, we asked you to pick a movie. You obviously picked Conan the Barbarian. Why Conan the Barbarian?
Okay. So, this movie is canon for my family. I have two older brothers and I guess it was like sort of through them. My oldest brother was sort of a D&D head and I guess he was more into fantasy. And we watched this movie for the duration of my family's life living in our house together over and over and over again. This was like my family's movie. So there's a bit of nostalgia attached to it. But truly, you know, my whole family liked it because first of all, the soundtrack is stunning. Yeah. The soundtrack, Basil Poldoris, it's some of the most beautiful, like, I almost want to say it's not electric, but like it's so intense and it's so
very
dramatic.
Stirring. Yes.
Yes.
He did Total Recall too, the music for Total Recall.
He and Arnold together, lose. It's the most beautiful music. I'll listen to it. It's very hard to find on Spotify, actually. It's a lot of covers, but it's the most beautiful soundtrack. So I'm very attached to the soundtrack of the film. It does, as you said, John, it's stirring. It stirs me. And then, you know, you guys may be not heterosexual, but for me, it's the curse that took over my life. And as a young child, seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger's unbelievable muscular body half for an entire movie was like a premature sexual awakening, and that is the other reason why I am obsessed with this movie.
Did it create, do you have like a thing for like guys with huge muscles?
I'm mostly grossed out by them, but Arnold, I have such a thing for him. I swear, like if you were like, you he's covered in arsenic, but to get it off, somebody needs to lick it off to save him. I'd be like, I guess I'm dying today. Like, like that's
his tribute, right?
He's it for me. He is so gorgeous to me in this movie. It is my sexual orientation.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is his first movie. Besides Pumping Iron.
Yes. This is
his first like narrative.
Yes. Where he's using his own voice actually.
So how many times have you seen it?
Well over 100. well over 100.
All right. Easy. So huge fan.
Huge fan.
Did you see the Jason Momoa one?
No,
Out of respect.
Out of respect. I made fun of, I remember I was dating somebody and the poster was up in New York and we passed by it and there's like, he has somewhere on his old iPhone video of me going, what the hell is this? This is a Shonda. Like, I can't believe it. There is no other Conan other than Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who's this motherfucker? Like, it's a whole rant about, by the way, I love Jason Momoa, but
sure,
he's no Conan.
Just not, give him some other parts. Don't give him Conan.
For years, they were trying to work on a third movie called King Conan, Crown of Iron. Like that was supposed to come out in the 2000s or even before that, which was like an older Conan as we kind of see him in like the final shot of the Barbarian, like kind of that older, wiser, trying to political machinations, I'm sure. But I think then he became governor and it couldn't happen. John, what's your history with Conan the Barbarian?
I had never seen it before last night. Wow. So this is my introduction to Conan the Barbarian. I thought it was really fun. It reminded me actually of like a silent movie because it does take 20 minutes into the movie before he says anything.
Right.
There is mostly just, there's not a whole lot of dialogue in this movie.
No. And you wonder if that's because of the Arnold of it all?
I think probably from what I read, there was a lot of sort of rewriting because all three of the main actors, this was their first major role. Like Jerry Lopez and Sandal Bergman. So I think all of them, and in fact, Jerry Lopez, all of his lines were dubbed eventually because they weren't happy with his line readings. But yeah, but it's also like just the epicness of it and just sort of like just watch. And I agree, like the music is incredible. It's apparently been like the soundtrack has been like repurposed and reused in dozens of movies. Like, people will just take sound and music from this movie and put them in their own movies.
It gets me hyped up. I will listen to it if I have something intimidating to do.
I'm like, gonna clean the toilet.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Makes it a fully different experience.
Yeah, take this, stubborn stains.
But yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Conan the
Barbarian? John, because we are just coming, we did Beastmaster five weeks ago. How did you think it compared to Beastmaster?
I mean, the opening, I was like, oh, this is kind of beat for beat the same, like the sort of initial. I mean, this is a Beastmaster, obviously, is more about the animals and there is more dialogue and whatnot.
More about the beasts. Yeah, this exactly. is more about this the barbarians.
About the barbarian. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think they're both kind of the same ilk, but you get why, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the star. You know, like, this definitely right. is like a very star-making film, even though he says very little.
Right.
But yeah, how about you, Mark? What do you...
I think I'd seen bits and pieces. Like, I used to be the channel growing up in the Bay Area was 44, which would show like the weekend movie. You know, they'd show movies at like 2 p.m. and always feel like Conan the Barbarian was. So I've seen it bits and pieces, and I just always remembered James Earl Jones and that haircut is the thing that. So I don't know if I've ever sat down.
Yeah, it's a haircut.
I've given myself the false of doom many times cutting my own hair. He has turf bangs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Iconic, really. So yeah. I never really sat down and watched the whole thing, but I thought like it was a lot of fun. Like, I thought it moved really quickly. And also think like you could tell the difference, like, oh, this had like 3 times the budget of Beastmaster, and you could tell because like the photography and the locations are so much more like just like stirring, and like the sets are like pretty incredible. So I thought it was a lot of fun. I had a great time watching it. And of course, I love the music. I called the music, I thought, oh, it reminds me of like, I would call a genre of Christmas violence. Oh. So that's what the music felt like to me.
Amazing. Wow. Oh, wow. Amazing. It is.
This is maybe what inspired Mannheim Steamroller, I'm thinking. You know, they do all those bombastic Christmas
holiday arrangements.
And did they come after Conan?
They had to have. Maybe not. I have no idea the history of. Where's their biopic?
Yeah.
You know what I just saw? This is apropos of nothing, but today there's it was going around on Twitter today. Someone's made an unauthorized Celine Dion biopic in French, but they have the rights to her music, but not her like name. So it's called Aileen. And it's a woman who looks exactly kind of like her, but also portraying the same actress is paying her from like 14 to now. And it's clearly like, isn't it a beautiful romance between her and this much older man?
I always wonder when they cast people that have to like play a huge age range, younger and older, they cast like the middle range.
I
would love to see the person portraying her, they just cast a 14-year-old and then they put her in older makeup.
Just to keep doing it.
Just cast the youngest and then put them in old makeup.
I think it would be funner to see the older, like see someone in their 60s have to play a teenager.
I think, didn't Martin
that's the Irishman.
Do that?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's Greece, right.
Yeah.
Well, Megan, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge the movie. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. Mm-hmm. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. Does that make sense right now? No, but don't worry about it. You'll get it when we get to it. But this is our current top five gayest movies ever. So in fifth place with an 89.03%, The Wizard of Oz. In fourth place with an 89.70%, The Apple. In third place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In second place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And in first place with a 94.83%, Female Trouble. And I should say, The Beastmaster, which I think is your toughest competition, has a 72.56%, and that is currently 21.
Oh, interesting.
So if you had to guess right now, where do you think Conan the Barbarian is going to end up?
Well, it really depends on your definition of gay.
Well, we have about 40. Yeah.
I think on your however you're grading it, if Beastmaster's in the low 70s, this has got to be like
65%, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen Beastmaster?
No.
Ah.
Well, sorry. I told the truth instead of being.
Please, always. Always. Truth first.
Yeah.
All right. So for the first group of categories, are the canon categories. So for each of these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. And then we take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, how would you score Conan the Barbarian on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? That priest.
Yeah, there's a one priest.
Afraid to bear yourself and grow? You're so well made. Him?
Right.
Yes. Outrageous.
Well, you know, the most famous quote from Conan is, "What is best in life? To crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of their women." Mm-hmm. That's pretty gay.
You think?
We love to make women lamentate.
Because what it's saying is, if based on an interpretation and where I'm trying to make this a gayer film, it's sure. that sure. they don't really care about women as much as maybe other things.
Gotcha. Women exist to make other people suffer.
Part of a pillaging exercise, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe this is sort of maybe this quote could be reinterpreted as a fetish.
That is very generous of you. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't believe it's okay. based in any sort of reality, but it is interesting.
Based on the characters, well, you know, Thulsa Doom, he is surrounded by virgins, female virgins.
Yeah, sure.
And I would also argue that I don't know what the percentage of like cult leaders are like queer, but like it seems like they want everyone to love them, not just women. And he's like the ultimate cult leader in a lot of ways.
He's very Jim Jones.
Yeah. So in that way, I would be like, he may, you know.
You can throw some points his way.
Yes.
Charles Manson used to have men like give him blowjobs just in sheer to display his power.
Right. Not because he liked it.
No, he hated it.
Exactly.
Barely.
It's about power. It is not about me being at all homosexual.
You call that an ejaculation?
I
should see when a woman
power.
Does. Yeah. So clocked the horny snake priest.
He's the only one who I think you can say definitely is.
But that's pretty good. But we do sometimes think like, oh, you know, there's so many people in that cult.
Right.
There's got to be some. There's got to be
that orgy they're having. Some guys.
Yeah, that orgy was like,
there's two men making eye contact while they're having sex with women, you know? Right. Yeah. I mean, so what do you want to give?
He's not a character, but the costume designer of the film.
Sure.
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh, so what do I want to give the.
On a scale of 0 to 100.
If, you know, I got to have integrity. I guess it's like a 20%.
20.
Yeah, I'll go 25.
25. You gave Beastmaster a 45, and I don't remember why. I think you counted the ferrets.
Probably, yeah.
Rude. But I think this had more than the Beastmasters. But also, I'm going to give it I'll give it a 22. Give it an average of 22.33, which is 9 points lower than the Beastmaster, but 21 points higher than Eat, Pray, Love. Pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Your toughest competition. All right, our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Conan the Barbarian and come away with a whole book of ideas?
That's 100%. Am I supposed to answer first or not?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many accessories. There's headgear, there's swords, there's like loincloths. There's, you know, between the virgins and Valeria. Valeria's whole outfit.
When she shows up in that, like when she's dead and she's like an angel now.
Yes.
I looked up, there's that Cher album where she's in the similar armor. That Cher album came out 3 years earlier. So I was like, oh, maybe that inspired Conan the Barbarian.
I mean, then there's the princess I said the virgins. There's the wizard.
How about that witch wearing like a pelty cocktail dress?
The one that he has.
Where she's like, come in, it's warm in here. She's wearing like a cocktail dress.
Crazy sexy scene.
She is wild. I loved her.
Yeah, I always thought that, I always associated her with being, my gosh, one of my favorite actresses.
Rita Moreno.
Gina Gershon.
No, she, oh God. I can't believe I'm not remembering.
Julia Roberts.
No, Julie she's Andrews. Older. No, she's older now and she had a long-term affair with
Angela Lansbury.
Long-term affair with Jack Nicholson.
Dan Keaton?
Oh, Angelica Houston?
Yes. Ah, I was like, in my head, I was like, that's Angelica that's Houston, but it's not.
Can Thank you imagine if this was Angelica Houston? Yeah. I just did Princey's Honor and now I'm in Conan the Barbarian.
Seducing getting... this.
And then I get thrown into a fireplace. Yes. What a part. I really liked at the beginning, when the army shows up in the town, like the first guy in the army is like, I just wrote down painted muscle clown. We never really see him again, but it's like, who is that weirdo? He almost reminded me of something you see on like Electric Company. Remember that show?
Yeah.
He was something very children's entertainer about him.
Right.
Also the wizard, I thought, played by Mako. I thought his coat was very like Evie Oddly.
Oh, I thought the trash heap from Fraggle Rock. But yes. Yeah,
well, thing. Is there a difference? I think we're saying the same thing, John.
We pretty much are, yeah.
I thought painting runes on your body could be like a lot of drag.
The warrior paint that they had, that's pretty draggy.
There's also a lot more looks than the Beastmaster. You have to admit, John, there's a lot more variety. Even Conan.
There's a lot of
Conan has a lot of looks. A lot of he's got chainmail.
A lot of like rugs, you know, masquerading a lot as of rugs. Animals. Yeah.
masquerading as animals?
Like animal skin, like there was a lot of like rugs that they were clearly wearing.
I thought Max von Sydow looked like, I just wrote down, he's the warrior king of the North Pole because he looked like a badass Santa to me.
Yeah,
they all shot him at such weird, distinct angles, too.
They had him for a day, I guess. He never comes back.
No, but it's a high impact.
Was it weird watching like this crazy sex scene with your family? Was that awkward?
Yeah, but I was raised on like very racy cable. I was of an era where like people had like Cinemax and HBO and the whole
Red
like,
Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, in home. And my parents would go to bed early and I would just stay up and learn about human bodies.
Real Sex, so, you ever watch that?
Yes, oh my God.
Why isn't that on HBO Max?
Because porn took over and it was free and why were
but
they
it's not even porn. The best part were the street interviews. I love those street interviews.
Real Sex was like porn for people who didn't have porn yet.
I know, but it always be like, you always get excited to watch it, but he's like, and old people at a nudist camp. Oh,
that's all it was. It was like, why are all swingers so ugly? That's what I learned. Right. I was like, everybody who wants to swap is just like middle-aged and like has a bad sunburn. Right. That's what I want to learn from Real Sex.
Right. Anyway, they need to put it on HBO Max. What a time capsule. So what do you want to give this for drag queen inspiration?
I'm going to say 85.
85.
I'll go 80.
80. I think it's pretty high. I'll give it a 75. Give an average of 80, which is 4 points higher than the Ten Commandments.
Oh.
All right. Our next category, gay icons. Are there any gay icons? Do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a gay icon? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
And I don't think James Earl Jones is.
No.
No.
And
I mean, Max von Sydow, he was in Flash Gordon. That's what I always think of first, which isn't necessarily gay, but there's something really campy about
that's
that.
That's a pretty gay movie. Seventh Seal, too.
Yeah. Mako was in a Stephen Sondheim musical, Pacific Overture, so I'll give a few like theater gay icon points for him for that.
Sure. Maybe something to the whole like the barbarian, because he is kind of an iconic, you know, when you play a video game like Gauntlet, like Conan is kind of the basis for like classic like fantasy tropes, you know, when you think of the barbarian guy.
Yeah, he's like classic beefcake, definitely.
Yeah, so there's something maybe to that, like, and also all those like Frank Frazetta like painterly book covers and all that stuff.
True. Sandel Bergman also was in All That Jazz, Bob Fosse movies.
I was gonna say maybe more international because of her.
Yeah.
Some international sure, appeal. Sure,
exactly. Yeah, maybe I should have picked Destroyer and then there'd be like Grace Jones I'd be winning.
It's okay.
Cult leaders, though, maybe.
A lot of cult leaders are gay icons.
Julie Taymor. I don't know. Theater directors.
Sure. Definitely. Right.
I don't know. I think it's fairly low for gay icons, personally. Yeah. So what do you want to give it, Megan?
I guess it's like a 15.
All right. It's going to be okay. It's just one category. There's like 45 more to go.
I know. I don't know why I want it to be the most gay movie ever. But it's not. I can't make it more interesting than it is. It's like an 80s fantasy.
Yeah.
Sure. I think we've got a bunch of little stuff, so I'm going to give it a 30.
30. I'll give it a 20. Give it an average of 21.67, which is 60 points lower than Anti-Mame. All right, our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Extremely. This is just, I mean, Arnold is sopping wet and
a lot of humidity
the entire time.
Especially the part when you see him finally like grow up through like the passage of his thighs.
Oh my God, that he's like, he's pushing the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Thigh lapse photography.
There we go.
I always wondered, would I be in the best shape of my life if I was like forced to push a heavy wheel?
I was also like, I was thinking, are they giving like protein shakes? Like, what are they giving these like slaves? Like,
it's genetics, guys. Let's not beat ourselves up.
Mm-hmm. I thought he looked, when he was crucified to the tree of woe, he looked great.
Too shabby. Yeah.
I thought that was like his hottest scene. Sally, like, oh, he looks great. Because maybe he doesn't look so huge somehow. I don't know.
Are you not into the big, big look?
I'm not into big. It's like, yeah, that's more like a...
Yeah, Mark, can I tell you something, though?
Please.
I think you're wrong about him being too big. His size is actually perfect. He's the perfect standard of the human form. Like, nobody's ever, like, his proportions are beyond. Like, everyone else is too big, but if you just, like, really spend a minute admiring his proportions, you'll find they're not too big. They're just...
All right. Fair enough. You convinced me.
I also agree. I think, like, the size, because it's not so cut. Like, I think if he was more cut, it would seem weird and gross, but this feels more natural.
You look at Conan the Barbarian, you say, there's a natural man.
Right. That's definitely never
corn
go.
Fed. Yes. Yeah.
not injecting anything.
No.
Yeah, so what do you want to give this for male gaze?
I'm going to give it a 90.
90.
Yeah, I'll go 88.
88. He's not in a loincloth as much as you would think in this movie.
True.
But compared you to... always see his nipples.
Thank you. It's always cold out in Hyborian, wherever they are. You know, the thing I thought was, this is meant to be Earth. It's not like another planet. Usually a lot of these fantasy things are like different planets entirely.
Oh, no.
But it's Earth.
It's like real Mongolian history.
This is real history.
They show this in schools.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 60. Giving it an average of 79.33. Pretty good. About 10 points higher than The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That has Henry Cavill in it. Yeah. But he never takes his shirt off. All right, our next category, entrances with pizzazz.
I thought the opening with like the horses and the dogs and all that off-screen chanting, that was a lot. That was pretty pizzazzy.
I think anytime you're riding your horse into someone's hut through the wall.
Right? That's an announcement.
Yeah. I thought doing a backwards somersault into a cave.
And then when his enemies are approaching, they always have insane entrances.
Yeah, they take a while.
Yeah.
I also thought cutting off the head of the cult leader and then showing it to everybody. And then throwing it down the stairs.
That's an entrance?
Well, he was presenting himself to the cult. They hadn't seen him before. He was far back on the dais.
He has transitioned from just a revenge warrior. And that does mark his transition entrance as the king.
All right. Okay.
A transition of status.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
It is a masterpiece. Everything has intention.
I thought the wizard had a fun entrance when he like bursts out of that cave. Do you think he's the one? They had like skeletons of horses like upright.
Right.
As if it was like a bodyworks exhibit. Do you think the wizard made those? Or were we meant to think like that's how they died and the skeletons just never collapsed?
Oh, interesting.
I mean, he didn't seem to have much else going on, so it wouldn't be surprising if that's what he did.
He's crafty.
Right. It's like, I've made this coat. Now what?
There's all these bones.
I want to production, talk to a horse.
Production didn't really like, they were just like, well, we can't take them apart. We got the bones in full horse form. When they got the shipment.
Shipped them,
right? We want our deposit back. So.
Yeah.
We're going to return these.
So what do you want to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
I'm going to give it an 80.
80.
I'll give it a 65.
65. I'm going to give it a 75, mostly for that horse going into a hut. Give right. 73.33. All right, our next category, Hell on Heels. How many feisty women who ain't taking no guff?
Valeria.
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 The witch.
The witch.
Even the princess at one point, she hisses at Valeria. That was very all right. Just because you're in a snake cult, you don't have to hiss at everybody.
We got
even
it.
Conan's mom in the
yes.
beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the beautiful hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some yeah. pretty.
It's not a lot women. Of women, but when they're no. when they're present, they are feisty.
When they have a name, yeah. When they're not just a virgin sacrifice.
Yes. Yeah. When the one fell, remember they do the sacrifice and like she mm-hmm. falls and the snake's dead. Was she screaming because the snake was dead? Or was she screaming because she like broke her leg?
Because the snake was dead.
Oh, she's like, oh yeah. shit, so I'm not going to get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so enthralled in the cult. Like this, she's been brainwashed. And now it's like, oh, because before she falls, it's like this whole, she's like kind of druggy.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I guess she's it's like being soldiers. In Guyana and like, wait, this is just Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a jip. So what do you want to give this for Hell on Heels?
Is it, I mean, I don't know why I feel like the need to get this right. It's a real insight into my psyche. But like, is it per, like each woman has to be feisty or like how many feisty women are there per woman? Like in-
Just as a movie, how would you rate the like- the
feisty- Women are very feisty, 90.
Yeah, 90.
Yeah, I'll go-
Valeria was a hero.
That's true. And she even comes back from the dead.
She literally says to him, do you want to live forever? She's like, fears nothing. She's a thief and she fears nothing. And she's his love interest. Oh my God.
I guess in that world, it's easy to be a nihilist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to live forever? We don't have plumbing.
Yeah. 40 is old age.
Yeah.
A horse could come through this wall at any second.
Yeah.
I'll go 84.
84. I think they're pretty fine. I'll give it a 82. Give an average of 85.33, which is 12 points higher than Eat, Pray, Love. I don't know why I keep going back to that, but it's also two points higher than Lady Bird. Pretty good.
Okay.
Feistier right. than Lady Bird.
This is feistier. Put that on the poster.
Okay, so feistier than Lady Bird. People need to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Feminists need to know about this movie.
Greta Gerwig, your next movie mm-hmm. should be Red yeah. Sonja. Give her Red Sonja.
Yeah, make it a mumblecore.
Yeah. So like, you want to like kill this guy? Whatever. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is Conan the Barbarian?
It's pretty macabre. It opens with a Nietzsche quote. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's John Milius for you.
Oh, boy.
And also, he prays to Crom, but he's constantly going through this lack of faith, going sure. into it and out of it, which isn't really macabre, but when you're...
Questioning God.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you're questioning God and you're...
Also very Lady Bird.
Taken to violence for vengeance and because also you just live in such a violent society.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's all those ritual sacrifices.
An entire village goes down.
Yeah.
There's vultures.
Mom is beheaded in front of him.
Yeah.
Well, making eye contact.
And also cannibal soup.
Snakes.
Those
snakes in a cave. Things
trying to like steal Conan's body.
Mm-hmm.
The red demon kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Also mm-hmm. child slaves. I can't believe it's taken us this long to say child slaves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. being burned by fire.
Skeletons.
Yeah.
When Valeria dies, she says, let me breathe my last breath into your mouth. That's pretty
That's
macabre.
So hot.
That's Kate Bush. That's Kate Bush for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they are covered in paint when they're like sneaking around at night to like do a sneak
yeah.
attack. And that
yeah.
is so goth.
Very goth.
So goth.
They're so goth. A Thulsa Doom is pretty goth.
He's very goth.
Yeah. Turns into a snake.
If you're the head of a snake cult, you're pretty goth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you give this for macabre?
This is to me in the 90s as well, but I'll give it like a 92.
92.
I'll give it a 96. I think this is a pretty dark macabre
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I think so. It is violent. Like, it's violent, but it always looks like, it's never, like, grisly. Like, the blood always looks like there's too much of it in a way. Like, you don't see a lot of, like, wounds or, like, There's like heads getting sliced off, and but there's not like gouges. It's not like a Braveheart or like a Game of Thrones where you're like, oh fuck, that's brutal. It's more like comic booky.
The blood is very Technicolor.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't. I don't like violence, to be honest. I don't like gory, violent movies, and this movie never struck me as offending my sensibilities that way. I saw gorgeously choreographed swordplay and people who deserved to lose their lives.
Yeah, people. His mother, is that what you're talking about?
No.
She had it coming
for it. Yeah.
Well, it's got a 94.33 in Macabre, which is 3 points higher than The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Another witch movie. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting?
I mean, like it goes blue during that sex scene with the witch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's that. There's all the fire stuff. And then that storm when Conan is sort of being brought back to life or whatever that is. That's a lot of weird.
Those red
lighting.
Spirit things.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of bright light as well. But there's a lot of campfires.
Yeah.
A lot of campfires.
A lot of things being set on fire.
I thought that final shot of King Conan on the throne, that looked great.
Yeah.
Where's that poster?
Are we really talking, we're talking like cinematography?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's gorgeous. Again, I use the word masterpiece and I don't use it lightly, but it is one.
So you want Criterion Collection. Put out Conan.
Yes. Conterion.
Conterion.
Conterion Collection.
Barba Election? No. there's also like some fun purple and green lighting in the Snake Tower, and also Valeria coming back from the dead.
Yeah,
an angel from heaven. So what would you give this for dramatic lighting?
An 85.
85.
Yeah,
I think there's moments of great dramatic lighting, but there is also just a lot of like the sun's out.
Yeah,
so I'll give it a 78.
Sure. 78. Yeah, I'll give it an 80. Give it an average of 81. All right, our next category, vibrato.
So this one, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take a moment, they give you a little extra. They sort of zhuzh it up, give it more than it needs, but you like it. I think like the opening narration by Mako, I think that's very vibrato. Yes.
Anytime Thulsa Doom is in it, I think it's vibrato. But yeah. I don't think that with Conan, it is as much.
I do think watching your dad get an axe to the back and then be eaten by dogs is vibrato.
Okay.
Usually it's one or the other.
It was a hat on a hat in that
case. It's a bit of a hack on a hack.
Remember specific.
I thought having armor on a dog seemed pretty vibrato to me.
I mean, you've never been a dog owner, John.
That's not true.
I feel like their sex scene is very vibrato.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole witch sex scene is crazy. The orgy scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him biting the vulture's throat, that was very vibrato, but I loved it.
Making the traps at like the outpost.
Yeah.
Very convoluted. I'll have to hope this guy, you have to hammer this one from above and that will kill them. We are hoping they really get hammered from above. It's the only way this trap works.
Tossing his head down the stairs and then watching the head go down the stairs.
Yeah. Conan could be too a bit much at times.
Yeah.
It's a very operatic movie.
For sure. Yeah. So what would you give this for vibrato?
It's given a 98.
98. Also, I think the score itself.
Yes.
The definitely. Musical score.
Yeah, I'll go 97.
97. I'll go 92. Giving a 95.67, which is 0.67 points more than Best in Show. Mm. All right. Our next category, footwork. How's the footwork?
We got all those fight scenes.
Okay. I mean, this is a choreographed musical, but nobody's singing.
They're off camera, right.
And they're doing it on horse.
Yes.
A lot of
horse footwork. And those sword scenes.
Lot of processions.
That's true. There also was that time where they climbed the wall, but that wall was like designed to be climbed. Like it seemed like it was made out of big ropes. And it was like, you don't want people to not climb this wall if you're going to design it like that.
If you're designing a snake tower, you're begging for people to climb it.
The wizard is constantly somersaulting, isn't he?
He capers.
Yeah, he did. I feel like I remember him like doing like cool moves.
Yeah.
Different moves.
The mill work is literally footwork when you have to push his grindstone.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And also, do we need to mention the witch's panther dance? when she's like on all fours, like
doing
her
stuff. But I'm glad you are. Yeah.
But that it, I mean, that was basically Cats.
She invented Cats.
Yeah, that scene was Cats.
She was Cat. And in 2 minutes, we get the whole thing. Great.
Yeah.
And a chain gang. That's footwork. So what do you want to give this for footwork?
It's high as well. This is pretty high as well. This is like 89.
89.
You know what? That's exactly what I was thinking. 89.
Wow. I'll give it an 89. Why not? Give it an average of 89, which is 50 points higher than The Wedding Singer. Pretty good. All right. Our next category, spank bank deposits. Anything you add to your spank bank? Do I have to ask?
I mean,
for me, it's the whole movie. He's in every frame. There's not a frame without Conan.
In your mind, anyway.
I mean, yeah.
You said this was your sexuality.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. There's death. There's vengeance.
Nothing more
spanking. No. There's everything is a heightened circumstance. You know,
sure.
it's like it couldn't be higher stakes. And there's something for every fetish. You know, really.
You like white robes.
Right.
I mean, if you like anything under duress, the slightest hint of, you know, a hint of violence, a hint of fear.
Right. Like group scenes.
Resurrections.
Meeting a king.
You can't have without the... Yeah, exactly. Power plays.
Snake
a lot
play.
Of status play. Power bottoms.
Dom, sub relationships.
Yes. The whole movie is that.
Okay, this is enlightening.
Yeah. Even Conan has to physically change himself in order to exact vengeance. There's like, isn't that like a kink?
Sure.
Bondage, yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for spank bank deposits?
Per me personally?
Please.
Sure. Yes.
It's 100. It's
100. Somehow I knew.
I think while there is a lot of horniness to it, I'm going to have to go 81.
81. I don't know. I think I'm going to give it an 80. It's pretty high though. Give it an average of 87, which is actually the highest we've had. All right, our next category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Conan the Barbarian to a gay person?
100. I already did.
Sure.
To us.
Yeah.
I recommend it to everyone.
Really?
I recommend it to everyone. It's you will be entertained. You will enjoy. Yeah.
And what if they say, I don't like fantasy movies. I don't like that stuff. What do you
say? Why watch a movie if there's no fantasy to it? That's literally the definition of movie. I don't like fantasy. So you want to watch a reel of you like eating a tin of sardines over the sink? Like what are you watching the movies for?
I've seen that. It's pretty good. Tin of sardines over the sink. It gets good in the last third hour.
I want fantasy in my life. That's why I go to the movies.
But you said you don't like fantasy movies. Like, do you like Lord of the Rings? Or is that too, like, namby
pamby,
hippy
it.
Dippy?
No, I liked
hippy
it.
Dippy, Lord of
I
the
like
Rings.
To be transported.
You know, Gandalf. You know.
But I just wish the hobbits would go to the gym.
Yeah. Too scrawny.
They don't need that second breakfast, right?
Yeah, you know, if they would just, like, a little more protein, a little less of the mugwort beer, whatever they're doing.
You want a ripped hobbit.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a go to deviantart.com.
Oh my, I was like, ripped hobbits is on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Conan is just hobbits who just, basically like started drinking protein shakes and working out.
Have you ever read like any of their like Conan like novels, the books?
No, I don't read it because you can't see Arnold in a
fair
book.
Enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's comics.
I read comics a lot growing up and even into adulthood, but for me, the Conan appeal is really the combination of the cinematography, the Arnold's naked, sweaty, wet body, the sword play, and the music all combines to transport you into this perfect amalgamation of a vengeance story. It's really a perfect vengeance story. And as a Scorpio, I'm very interested in vengeance.
Is that what Scorpios are into?
Oh yeah. Do not call us.
All right. John, what do you want to give it?
I think it's fun, but there's nothing about it that feels like, as a gay person, you definitely need to see Conan. So I'll give it a 70.
70. Pretty high. I don't know. I'll give it a 40. I mean, it is fun, but I don't know. Yeah, it's not particularly gay. But still, it's got a 70, which is crazy. Which is, hold on. You know, it's like 20 points higher than Lady Bird.
And everybody shit, thought that was the gayest movie ever. No.
Everybody thought. No. That's all they were talking about. It's got Laurie Metcalf in a thrift store. Nothing gayer than that.
Is Lady Bird the standard? Or it's the right
no.
In the middle?
Oh, okay. It's, just, it's the one that's easiest. The math was easiest to do in my head.
Oh, okay.
When I see the numbers. All right, now we are into the wheel category.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in, and we put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to randomly spin it four times. We're going to spin it four times. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. And then after those four times, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel. Remember that from earlier?
Uh-huh.
It's paying off. Are you a Predator fan? The movie.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, here we go. Non-traditional murder weapon.
I mean, turning a snake into an arrow.
Yeah. Never seen that before.
Never. And I've been around a lot of snakes.
That's 100. Turning a live snake into an arrow. That's high concept.
You wonder what the snake is thinking. That's happening. What the hell? Yeah. Where's that comic? Little fun, like Far Side style Garfield strip about snakes and Doom's cult.
In this weird cult.
100.
Yeah, I'll go 97.
97. I mean, I don't know. This is one of the wildest things I've ever seen, that thing. So I'll give it 100. I mean, yeah, it's fucking crazy. Giving it a 99 in non-traditional murder weapons. You know who else had that category? I, Tonya, had that category, and that only got a 13 in non-traditional murder weapons.
Okay, here we go. Party drugs.
Party drugs. What was that? Cannibal soup, a party drug?
That mint stew.
That green with like, yeah, there were body parts in it. Because in that scene before in that red pit, you see like bodies hung upside down and like their chests, like guts all taken out of them.
And also during the virgin sacrifice, it seemed like they're on something.
Doing something.
If like, you're in a cult, you got to be on something.
And also when he has sex with a witch, she's like on something.
She like throws something into the fire that makes it go all weird.
Yeah. Opium-ish, which is the party drug.
Hashish.
Yeah.
Don't throw it in the fire.
She's hotbox. Isn't that hotbox?
Oh, sure, sure.
You've seen that in movies where people just throw logs of marijuana on the fire, but would that work?
I don't know. I mean, should with marijuana, I think it would work, but I don't know about opium. I've never done
that. I feel like you would cough so hard.
Yeah, right? You would die.
Yeah, that would be like, that would... You wouldn't even know if you were high from inhaling the chemical because you would just have lost oxygen to the brain from coughing so hard.
Right.
Inhaling smoke.
And so what do you want to give this for party drugs?
In all honesty, it's about a 60.
60?
I'll go 63.
60. We're giving a lot of credence to this cannibal soup as a party drug.
They're partying.
They are partying, but that's just more like party food, like buffet, than the drug. But I'll give it a 30, because that suit might be laced with something. Why is it green? Given an average of 51 in party drugs.
Okay, shawls.
Shawls.
There's a lot of wraps that they're wearing.
A lot of pelts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all animal skins. Very shawl forward.
Had a lot of like there was a big aesthetic of like a weird thing on the head that had like two as if you had two braids, but it was a weird fabric on your head,
like floppy hats.
Yeah.
Yes, like it was almost ears. Like a it's like I feel like rave culture stole that a little bit.
Yeah,
sure. So we're calling floppy hats a shawl. What is a floppy hat but a shawl for your skull? Ears,
right? Yeah.
Well, it's a hat shawl combo a bit.
Sure,
it's true. Which you love to find in any store, like a matching hat and shawl. Anthropology, I bet, loves that. Oh. Something with like birds on it.
Yeah, it's for their Coachella collection.
Absolutely. Coming back 2022. We all going?
Already got my tickets.
Sounds exhausting. Yeah, what do you want to give this for shawls?
I'm going to give it a 73.
73.
I'll go 52.
52. I feel like there was more tailoring than shawling. I'll give it a 30. Given a 51.67. You know what scored very well in shawls? Eat, Pray, Love got a 90 in shawls. That makes sense, though.
Interesting.
Okay, here we go. Is anyone on fire, literally or figuratively?
Yes. So many. Yes. Yeah. I mean, when Valeria, they burn her body. They send her off to the god.
Yeah, right. That snake priest.
Yes.
She gets thrown in the water. Yeah.
She never comes back because she turns into like a fireball and leaves. But then I kept waiting for her to like come back in some ways.
No. It's just for sex.
She made this dramatic exit. Do you think she goes back to live at that hut?
Oh, I never really thought about her plot, but that's a great idea for me to write a play about what happens to the witch.
From her point of view.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how Conan treated me. It's not all what you thought.
This keeps happening every time I bet a barbarian.
Yeah.
What can I do to make them stay?
Yeah. She asks for a commitment, and to his mind, it's like, oh, she's bearing fangs.
Yeah.
She's eating me alive.
Right. In fact, from her point of view, it was just a simple conversation about her needs, but he saw it as a threat.
A threat.
Yeah.
Typical man. Mm-hmm. Typical barbarian.
Yep. Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for? Is anyone on fire?
This is in the 90s. This is a 95.
95.
Yeah, between that and they like burned villages and they burned like a lot. So there's a lot of like people getting on fire. I'll go 95 as well.
95. And somehow he burns that stone temple at the end when he like shot puts the the fire, the vizier. Is that what those brazier things? Those little bowls hold the fire. Makes a big woo-woo in the throat. I was like, wasn't that stone? How is it catching on fire? Okay. It's so cool. Porous. Giving it a 95 in Is Anyone on Fire? All right, Megan, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge Conan the Barbarian and all our remaining movies when this category gets added to the wheels.
Interesting. Wheels? You know what? Does somebody die in someone's arms?
I just died in your arms tonight. Speak of the
because I'm remembering like she really does. She says, "Kiss me," you know, and dies in his arms, and that always really resonated with me. And that's also very vibrato.
Yes,
she literally dies in his arms. So
it's very like. Did you ever see that Don Johnson music video, like Heartbeat, Heartbreak? Mm-mm. It's like when he tried to get a music career during the Miami Vice heyday. Look up his music video. It is everything's cranked up to cocaine.
I've got it in the Google queue.
So what would you give Conan the Barbarian in Does Somebody Die in Someone's Arms?
Yeah, 99.
A 99.
How many people? Well, also you could even say that like young Conan is holding his mom's arm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, her hand.
She dies. Yeah. So yeah, I'll go 97.
97. I'll give it 99. Yeah, someone does die in somebody's arms a few times. Giving it a 98.33. All right, now we're into the bonus category.
So these categories are just bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to count against the movie. These are just extra points, and we're scoring it from 0 to 10.
Okay.
All right, the first category. How would you score Conan the Barbarian on a scale of 0 to 10 in musical potential?
100. This
or
is
10.
A 10. Oh, yeah, sorry, a 10.
It's okay.
I didn't finish it. 100 divided by 10. Is...
Sure. There actually is on Amazon a Conan the Barbarian musical. It's called Crom with an exclamation point.
Now I know what I'm renting.
Well, it's got two ratings on Amazon, so I don't know how good it is. No offense to the makers.
Well, maybe people will discover it now.
Maybe people will discover it. We can hope. Just elevate them. Oh, it's from the writers who did Silence, the musicals.
Oh.
Okay.
There has been one. Well, and we have said it is pretty operatic.
That's a 10.
It's very operatic.
What do you think, John?
I mean, I think there's a way in which what it's good at is not what musicals are good at, but like just like fight scenes, I think musicals tend to come up as very sort of like corny and hokey. You know what I mean?
There's been a Lord of the Rings musical, right?
There was.
Did you ever see that?
I did not know. It ran in Canada for like a year. Then they brought it to London and it flopped pretty quickly.
They said, no, throw it in the fire.
Back to Middle Earth.
This ain't precious.
But there is one. So I'll give it a 9.
a 9. Yeah, I'll give it a 10. Why not? It's operatic. I mean,
yeah,
sure. If they could do Lion King, a lot of outdoor scenes. All right, our next category, queer menace. Are there any queer menaces?
Well, there's a one priest.
There's that priest.
I mean, the weather, you know, no.
Queer weather.
I mean, a snake cult is pretty queer.
Yes, I would argue. That's I don't think Fells of Doom is 100% hetero.
No, I think I didn't have such labels back in those right. days either. No.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone slept with everyone.
Yeah, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Nobody had these hangups.
Exactly. People were more free. Everybody seemed much happier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's funny, the scene where like Conan's like walking through the town, like, does it always smell? Like, if that village smells bad, like, what is the rest of his, like, he's smelling like a rose everywhere else he goes? I find that hard to believe.
I think he probably smelled pretty good. Natural musk is probably delicious.
Natural musk.
Yeah. Not fair. So,
yeah. You can, yeah.
So what do you want to give Conan the Barbarian and Queer Menace?
Oh, you know, to be honest, it's not definitive, so I'm going to give it a 5.
A 5.
Yeah.
I'll go 6 because that priest.
6 for the priest. I'll go 4 for the priest. I wanted more of the priest, actually. giving it a 5. All right, next category. Character actress makes a big swing. That witch, I'd say.
Cassandra Gava is a witch, yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
She's really like whispering constantly.
She's moaning. I think that they had to do like anti-ADR and take out some of the moans. It was so much moaning.
She was having a blast.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a 9.
A 9.
I'll give it, because she just has that one thing, but yeah, I'll go 7.
7. I'm also going to go 7. Giving an average of 7.67, which is 0.67 points more than the apple. All right, our next category, speaking of witches, how witchy is Conan the Barbarian?
It's quite witchy.
It's pretty witchy. That's, I know, a fun, I mean, witch.
We've got her, and we've also got Mako as the wizard.
Yes, it's got witches and wizards and sorcerers.
Yeah,
that's true.
Super
Doom
witchy.
Turning into a snake.
Yes, he's like a sorcerer. Like, it's very mystical, witchy, magical.
I did think that giant snake like puppet thing was pretty scary.
That was fun.
Yeah, I really like that. Like, if I was a little kid, that would freak. Did you ever see that movie Dreamscape?
I see
the trailer for it, but
it used to terrify me, because you go into the dream, there's like a cobra man, and like there's a scene where you're going like down a dark staircase, like from the character's point of view, and at the end is like the back of this cobra, but then he turns around. It's scary. It used to terrify me as a child. I had to take my feet up from off the couch. That's how scared I was.
Wow. So look, putting your feet on a couch.
That's when I'm scared. My shoes were off.
Yeah, fear standard.
If my feet are up, I'm terrified. So what do you want to give this for witches?
This is a 10.
A 10.
Yeah, you got to go 10 with this one.
Yeah,
I think so. It's pretty fun. Giving it a 10, tying it with the Wizard of Oz. Pretty good.
Makes sense.
All right, our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. Now, I looked up Jack Taylor.
Right.
Who plays the, he did an interview. There's no hard and fast information. Right. I couldn't, but I did find an interview he did with SpanishFear.com.
I read that interview as well. Yes.
There's a quote that stood out to me, and I'll share it now with you. He was talking about, he did a movie, or he did shot an episode of the Jack Benny Show with Marilyn Monroe. And this is how he spoke of Marilyn Monroe. He said, "The star did arrive an hour late, and it was none other than Marilyn Monroe. My first impression was of disappointment. She walked with a cane, weak-chinned, hair in rollers, no makeup, wearing what was known in those days as capri pants," he writes in all caps, "an item that left nothing to the imagination, and there was plenty under them to imagine." So I like to think he's gay.
He seemed pretty gay. And there also is a porn star with the name Jack Taylor. Who's a different
A different person has the gay point. You must be gay.
Also, I should say, the actor who dubbed Jerry Lopez all of his lines, his name is Sab Shimono, and he is gay. But so that he was the voice. He was the voice actor.
But that character wasn't gay.
You know,
we don't know.
It's unclear. He doesn't seem to have.
To Conan.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be.
He doesn't say time for me to get a woman for myself.
Exactly.
I mean, who could compete?
But it's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah. So what would you give it for gay actors playing gay roles?
It's a 5.
A 5.
I'll go 5 as well.
5. I'm also going to give it a 5. You know, sadly, that is the highest we've had since The Wedding Singer, and that was 14 movies ago.
Oh, that's
so, wow. Movies, and that only got a 6.33.
Mm-hmm.
That's devastating. Most movies get zeros in that. It's pretty devastating. All right, our next category, themes of mothers.
Well, the entire movie is because he watched his mom get murdered in front of him by Thulsa Doom's guys. It's a vengeance story. So
in slow motion, no less.
Yeah. So mother's really quite high.
Yeah. The driving force. The inciting incident.
But he doesn't ever like talk. He doesn't talk much at all. But he's, boy, I wish my mom were here. You know what I mean? You never hear him like mentioned, you know.
No, that's true.
He more has a scene with the father than anybody.
It's a lot of father stuff that's true.
When it's, don't trust anyone but your sword. Which I think is bad advice.
Yeah.
No, the riddle of steel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's great advice.
You think? Don't trust anyone? I guess in this world.
Yeah.
There's no records.
It's a brutal world.
It's a brutal world.
Barbaric. Yeah, but one might say. I'm just trying to think of any. Yeah, there's no other real mommies in it.
There's no mommies. No.
There's no other mommies. So
maybe the snake was a mommy?
Yeah, but it's not, you know, that's more like a D plot.
Absolutely.
I guess it's like a 4.
A 4. Tough but fair.
Yeah, I'll go 4 as well. That sounds good.
I'll also go 4. Keeping in an average of 4. All right, our next category, pearl clutching. Anybody morally outraged?
No.
I mean, I think when what's his name gets beheaded, there's a whole lot of oh my.
The cult is like, what the hell?
They seem more like stunned and like ready for the transition of power. Like nobody like goes up to Conan. It's just like, well, I guess he's the guy now. Like they're kind of a bit zombie.
Where's our David Miscavige?
Yeah. They're so zombified. That's my recollection. Maybe you guys.
I think you're right.
I could say the critical reaction to the movie itself. There's a lot of pearl clutching about all the violence.
Yes, the movie itself is not pearl clutching. This is like an anything goes environment.
I guess maybe when Conan was offended by the smell, was kind of like, oh, does it always smell like this? Oh,
he did sound like my grandma in that moment.
Conan is the only one who shows real disgust in the whole movie. Also, the girl did the girl, virgin. Like,
where's my snake?
Yeah, she was very upset.
Yeah, imagine how and then like their snake leader tries to kill the princess, and there's a shot of the princess where she looks like, oh my god, like she looks like shocked.
That was their best take.
Yeah,
she was a slack jawed, very funny. So what do you want to give this for pearl clutching?
It's like a 3 to me.
A 3.
I'll go 4 with the critical reaction to the movie itself.
I'll give it a 3, giving it a 3.33. All right. Next category, quips. How quippy is this movie? A lot of jokes.
It's quippier than you think.
Okay.
It's not a dialogue heavy film, but he does say, I'll be back multiple times. No, he never says that. It's the wrong movie.
He says, it's not a tumor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Give the people the air, not this
people
movie.
The air.
Fuck you, asshole. Not this movie.
Get to the chopper.
Yeah, not. It's.
He does say, I thought the only thing he thought that was maybe close to quip was, Crom laughs at your 4 wins. When he's talking religion with his buddy.
I guess I just remember certain quotes, but they weren't quips.
Right. The lamentations of your women. Yes. More like a heavy philosophy.
Yes. Not exactly a quip. So.
It seems like something that guy, that pickup artist Mystery, would say. Remember him? The guy who invented
peacocking
and nagging?
Yeah, but he would say that to like, well, totally remember. Yeah, I love the game.
You love it?
I love it. I was obsessed with it. And I could like tell when people were using it in bars.
I was working at a bookstore not 3 years ago and people were still buying copies of it. Like these guys who looked like they were like bankers and businessmen. I'm like, I wanted to say, what are you doing? You idiot. Just be a person.
Yeah, no.
You don't know how
I remember like reflecting. I was like, I remember just people using it, and I was like, oh, that's what that was. That person was negging me the entire time. That was like the way they thought they could interact to get status over women.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So quips.
Quips. not a lot of quips. This is like a two.
A two.
I'm going to have to go zero, unfortunately.
Zero. Okay. I'll give it a one for Crom laughs at your four wins.
All right.
Finally, second to finally, we're into the iconic categories.
So these categories are more broader based. We're back to zero to 100. So you'll see.
Okay.
All right. So the first one on scale of zero to 100, how would you rate Conan the Barbarian in homoeroticism?
This to me is relatively homoerotic. Although, you know, it's just a lot of topless Conan, but actually his interactions are unfortunately very, very hetero.
There's that one in like when he's pit fighting.
Yes, that is the only, like, that's grappling the only real with the scene. That's the one scene. And then, but the rest is that, like, his sexuality is very much hetero.
You call him a macho man, perhaps?
Yeah.
Could be a village person. I mean, the pickup scene with the priest.
It's a 58.
What about all the giant snakes? Calling Dr. Freud?
Yeah.
I guess, that's pretty.
I mean, he's not having a...
Also a sword, a giant, he's just banging around his giant sword. Banging a sword everywhere.
Then having to break your father's sword and use your own.
Yeah.
Oedipus.
Yeah. You know what? Homoerotic. Thank you for correcting me. This goes straight to an 88.
An 88?
Yeah.
I've gone too far.
You know what? I like your... I'll go 58.
58. I'll go 50. Why not? Give it an average of 65.33, which is third behind The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which has an 84. All right, next category.
Watch that.
Over the top wardrobe. I think it's fairly over the top.
It's really wardrobed.
Yeah, this movie is wardrobed.
No, but I mean,
the whole department.
Conan has his look. Thulsa Doom has his look. The virgins have their look. The priest, the wizard has his look. Like, Valeria has her look. Like, it's everybody's got a look. It's not, you know. And then, the headgear.
The headgear.
And the boots. Sure. And even the horses have a look.
There's also the one guy in Doom's army who looks like he walked right out of a biker bar. He's like his third in command or second in command, where he has a long hair and like a, you know, handlebar mustache and like almost like a leather vest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember him now.
Is it Rexor?
That's our Rexor.
Classic Rexor.
And just the James Earl Jones aggressive bangs.
Yes. Definitely. And don't they steal a jewel? It's not wardrobe, but they steal like a gorgeous jewel.
Gorgeous.
The Eye of the Snake or something like that.
Yes. So yeah, I'm going to give this like a 92.
92.
I'm going to give it an 82.
82. Yeah, I'll give it an 82. Giving it an average of 85.33, which is about 15 points lower than the Apple, which has a perfect 100. All right. Next category, camp factor. How campy is Conan the Barbarian?
I think that didn't the Met do a whole ball based on camp, which ignited a controversy of that's not camp. This is camp. That's not camp. This is camp. Yeah. So, which makes it hard for me to answer because I'm like, do I even know what camp is?
You always go off the Met Gala.
Well, people interpreted the word camp and it was all over the place for that one.
Yeah.
I'm usually like my campometer is John Waters.
Sure. That's,
you know, it's the highest standard.
That's how you calibrate.
Like, yeah. And then I calibrate from there.
Yeah. That's fair.
But wouldn't I also call Tim Burton? Is Tim Burton camp?
It's camp elements.
So Conan is actually, it's not that camp. Well, the only part really is James Earl Jones, but it's not that camp. It's a different thing.
I think there's a bunch of camp in this. I do agree. James Earl Jones is super campy. I don't know if this is campy, but this made me laugh. The very final narration where like they're doing a narration, but it's also scrolling. The very last line that is on the screen and what he says are two different things, even though everything else is exactly the same. That just made me laugh so hard.
Oh, that's amazing.
Also just setting up, but that is another story, ..
Yeah, I know it's something, but I don't think it's camp. It's not kitsch either, but I don't think it's quite
a barbarian movie.
No, it's fantasy and it's sorcery and it's all these other things. But like, that's like, is heavy metal camp?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. So if heavy metal camp is Dungeons, is D&D camp?
It can be.
So, yeah.
Oh, so then Conan is like, Conan is camp then. Then it's like a 82.
82.
Yeah, I think that's good. Also, like him just biting the throat of that vulture to me was like,
it was very funny.
Ridiculous, fun camp.
Good for you, Conan, I say.
I'll go 86.
86. All right, I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Any movie that starts with a speech by a chronicler. Most Dino De Laurentiis productions. Swords engraved with runes. Dogs in coats. Helmet hair. Becoming a crowd favorite in the fighting pit. Coming to know the pleasures of women. Dogs respecting you after you find a sword. Giving someone directions in the middle of sex. Punching a camel. Sweating on a snake's eye. Has there ever been a ritual sacrifice that wasn't a huge production? Throwing a chicken at your date. Falling face down into a bowl of soup. These snakes. Snake cult towers seem to be signs of gentrification in the Hyborian age. Snake handling, fighting away demons during the resurrection ritual for your dead boyfriend who's barely said two words to you. Everyone in your group making fun choices with their warrior body paint. The one person on the orgy who sits on their throne not participating, kicking over a candelabra, accidentally knocking over your boss's giant pillar, a fortifying the camp montage, and finally an end credit that says, special thanks to Alfredo. So I think it's fairly campy. I'll give it a 84.
Alrighty.
Giving it an average of 84.
That whole list made me love the movie even more.
There you go. That's my goal.
I forgot he punched a camel. I forgot he like fell asleep.
I think he really did too. I felt bad for that camel.
Oh, no.
You can't fake that.
You can't fake that. That camel doesn't know how to do a stage combat. Doesn't even know what's going on.
Oh man.
But well, finally, like we're into the Crown Snake Jewels.
Sure.
Sure, for this movie.
For this one time only. So these categories, we don't rate them. We just all agree it either gets this bonus or it doesn't.
Okay.
All right, so the first one, 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. I mean, the one character is lecherous and predatory.
No. It does not get the bonus.
Beat up, no, yeah.
No. And finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Wait, Boat Trip with
Cuba Gooding Jr. and Harrison.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I didn't see it, but I know. Okay. Yes. Now I remember the trailer. Okay. He plays. Okay. I see what's happening. He had already won an Oscar and he did that movie, didn't he?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. That's very upsetting. Okay.
That's upsetting.
Luckily, this is not that movie.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. We're done.
So how do you, so now that we've been through it all, do you still think you got around 65?
Yes, maybe even more.
Okay.
All right, I will tell you exactly how you did. Out of a total possible 2,688.96 points, Conan the Barbarian has scored 2,197.62, giving it a percentage of 81.73. Making it the ninth gayest movie of all time. Not as gay as Clue, but gayer than the Ten Commandments.
Wow. Not as gay as Clue. Yes.
Wow.
Congratulations. Yeah. You really beat Beastmaster.
You crushed Beastmaster. You got a 72.56.
I mean, if it hadn't been me arguing for it and giving the points, it probably wouldn't get there. But I'm reacting as if this is objective, but I'm like, yes, I have great taste. It is very gay.
I mean, it's fun. You did it. You kicked the teeth in. You're like kicking the traitors out of the temple. I'm trying to think, but that didn't happen. The Ten Commandments, New Testament. Megan, what a delight. What a fun
thank
movie.
Thank you so much. No, I love this. And also, I'm just glad that I got two more people to watch the film.
Yes.
That's my purpose. Gave,
hopefully, Universal, there'll be more after this episode comes out.
We all gave Universal Studios $6.
Oh, great.
There you go. Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, you're asking somebody who is fresh out of a pandemic.
You?
Yes. Only me.
You're the one.
Oh my gosh. I have truly nothing, but great. People can find me on Instagram and Twitter if they want to hear more. I'm barely on Twitter anymore. I'm trying to have a good time.
Sure. For the soul.
Yeah, you can find me out. Anything that I would be promoting would be on my Instagram, which is my name, Megan Nerringer.
Fabulous. All Everyone right. should follow you on anything they want that you'll allow.
Yes.
Perfect. Yep. Yes.
LinkedIn? You on LinkedIn?
No, I'm absolutely not. I don't work. I was born rich.
Wow. Well, your aunt has a horse farm.
That's
so
true. All makes sense.
It's all coming together. All right. What a delight. And we'll
be right back.
We're back. Fun.
So much fun.
Are you a bigger fan of the sword and sandal genre than you maybe thought? We've liked two.
That's true. No,
and also
I like
made
genre.
Me think.
Go ahead.
Remember, like on Airplane, they used to reference like gladiator movies. It's like the gay thing. It's all making sense now. You know what I mean? Yeah, like sure. Gladiator movies were like, that's where you went to see like Beefcake. Mm-hmm. And what is this sword
There's
and sandal?
A lot of that, right?
It's basically the same thing, but the less Greco-Roman and more
skin, right?
Yeah,
but I mean, like Princess D&D. Bride has sort of it exists in the same world. So does like a Lady Hawk,
like a Dragon Slayer.
A Dragon Slayer, yeah.
You don't get much like beefy like men though, like a Khal Drogo. You know what I mean? Like
I mean,
just
those
the pure
are, those are...
barbarian in the like. We don't have barbarian. I guess the last one maybe is Conan the Jason Momoa one.
The remake, yeah, with Khal Drogo.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
They're the of the genre.
A very lateral move to cast him. I feel as Conan the Barbarian,
but not incorrect.
Not incorrect. But then he came alive as our Aquaman. Some would say the definitive Aquaman.
I guess so. Are there any other really takes of Aquaman besides an animated one?
No.
So yeah, I guess by default, he is the definitive Aquaman.
So that's got to make him feel good.
Sure.
Are you going to look into Khal the Conqueror or Conan the Destroyer?
I mean, yeah, maybe if I've got a free afternoon, I'm not rushing.
Conan
to
the
check
Destroyer is PG.
Oh,
which
it does
is
have
weird.
Grace Jones though. That is. Okay.
It does have Grace Jones.
All right.
But I don't
that
think it's meant to be
higher
as good.
To the higher on the list then.
Maybe.
Well, speaking of high on the list, we got an email from one of our listeners. This comes from Lauren, and their email is titled Eurovision and Pride. And Lauren writes, "Hello, California. This is London calling." Oh, an international
Clash.
Listener. Very nice. Last weekend was Eurovision, which is not a movie, but is the gayest thing ever. Over-the-top outfits, production design, homoeroticism. I highly encourage you to look up the winners this year. Vibrato all over the shop. Occasionally macabre, maternal songs, and definitely Rainbow Bright. Mm. I did watch a lot of the...
It was on Peacock, I think, like the first time. We could actually watch it here.
Yeah, did you watch it?
No, I'm not getting Peacock or Apple TV. I've drawn the line at new streaming services.
Wow, you've got a lot of integrity.
Non-integrity. I just don't want to download any more things.
Lauren goes on, my friend and I watched together and, as is tradition, scored along for each song in a number of categories. However, this is my first time doing so since I started listening to your excellent podcast, so I was struggling to explain my giggles as people were explaining, I'll give it a 5 for vocals and that's a 0 for spectacle. There's no spectacle. As the only straight person in the room, it felt like awkwardly performative allyship to explain that I'm a fan of a podcast called Two Old Queens, which is looking for the gayest film ever. And then Lauren writes, I'd be intrigued to hear your take on Pride, if any future guests are listening. It's very not gay, but also very gay. And while I don't think it would break the top 20, it at least won't be completely destroyed now that you've removed the penalty for straight actors in gay roles. Here's my pitch. Andrew Scott, a couple of feel songs, motherhood and strident women looming large, a brick through a window for the all-important shattered glass, 100% macabre for the existence of Margaret Thatcher. I want to hear faking attendance at culinary school to go and bond with Welsh minors in Mark's camp list. And it is not the movie Boat Trip. Goodbye from Lauren. I've never heard of this movie, Pride.
It's
it?
2014. I just had to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's about, it's based on a true story. The film depicts a group of lesbian and gay activists who raise money to help families affected by the British miners' strike in 1984 at the outset of what would become the Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners campaign.
Oh, that seems sweet.
With Bill Nighy, Imelda Staunton, Dominic West, and Andrew Scott.
It's Andrew Scott.
120 minutes. Whew.
this one was, Conan was 129.
This is true. I thought a movie. There are two scenes of a sexual nature. Trying to see like what the kind of review got critical acclaim.
Well, there you go.
And it won the Queer Palm at the Cannes Film Festival. I didn't know there was such a thing. Have you heard of the Queer Palm?
Oh, wasn't that your nickname in college?
Kaboom, Gregor Rocky. You ever seen Gregor Rocky movies?
Oh yeah, they're great.
They're fun. Carol by Todd Haynes has won that. BPM, that's a French. Portrait of a Lady on Fire won in 2019, the Queer Palm. Wow. We got to start watching some queer. Oh, Rocket Man was nominated for the Queer Palm. I understand why it lost, though. When the subject line was Pride, I thought that was going to be about Pride Month and like going to the Pride Parade.
Oh, I wonder.
Is that something you like to do? Have you ever done that in the past?
Go to a Pride Parade?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time?
Yeah. When I lived in New York, sure.
Oh, I think it's gone into LA's?
Well, I haven't. No, I did. I was never as like aware as when it was, so I sometimes like missed it because New York is very easy. It's the last Sunday in June.
And you're always outside anyways.
I'm always out. You know me. I'm always like looking.
Well, in New York, I feel like you're more likely to be like, oh, I came across a parade.
Oh, what's this? A parade?
I was just in LA, you have to seek it out.
That's true. And you have to like park and it's tough. I agree. Whereas like in New York, you're like, you just take the subway. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where I think it's good to go and support and just sort of be there. I always like it.
Sure.
It's fun. How about you? Are you a Pride Parade goer?
No, but then I don't like outdoor like festivals, events, things.
So you like to sit.
I like to sit.
You'd have to bring a chair, but you need to get there early so you can still see. Because
I'm not in the market for any dream catchers, you know, or corn on the cob.
Yeah, you've got so many already.
Yeah, I'm up to my neck in dream catchers. But there's a big controversy. It's less right now. It was a controversy 2 weeks ago, probably a month ago by the time
this people hear this,
comes
right?
out of kink at Pride.
Yeah.
A lot of younger people are saying, no kink at Pride.
All right, sit down.
I won't. I'm offended. I got up out of my chair to share this news. It just seems like silly. Like, what's wrong? Children can handle seeing a man in a jock strap. What's the big fucking deal?
Right. Or also, like, this is an event for children then. If you think your kids can watch this, then that's fine. The event was born out of this world and born of this. Like, if you don't like it, that is completely your prerogative. But I would say don't go.
And it's also you like saying projecting so much, like a child doesn't understand.
Right, exactly.
That is so inherently sexual.
Like, oh, what a funny thing that they're wearing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you see Speedos on like the Olympics. What's the big difference? Not much difference.
Absolutely.
So these people need to shut the fuck up and stay home. Right. Is that what we're saying? Our official
pretty
platform?
Shocking a stance for our two old queens to take to be pro gay pride and kink.
Yeah. Right.
I expect to hear this, but thank you, Lord. We love to hear from you.
I hope someone brings in that movie. It sounds good.
Sounds like
it won
fun.
The Queer Palm. I've been told I have a queer palm.
Yes, exactly.
It's so smooth.
Mm-hmm. Not a day of yard work. But yes, let us we love hearing from you guys. So you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know if there's any movies you want to see, anything we got wrong. We love especially hearing from our listeners overseas. That's such a treat and a delight.
Across the pond.
Indeed. You can also, if you have a moment, if you go to iTunes and give us 5 stars and give us a fun review, that helps the algorithm and helps people find it. So we really appreciate that.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @twooldqueens, T-W-O Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current list of movies, and I have to move Conan the Barbarian all the way up to 9. Was not expecting that, but I'm not mad about it.
No. We also have merch. If you want to support the podcast, you can go over to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens. We've got a lot of fun stuff you can buy there. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to help the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. And finally, we also have a Patreon. So for just $5 a month, you get another episode every week of us talking about different gay movies and whatnot. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's it. We do know our movie for next week.
Next week, it is our I know we just had our 100th episode, but another milestone, it is officially 2 years since we've been doing this podcast next week.
Can you imagine? That's like a stint on a city council. When you think of it, those terms, it really makes you think,
like,
right?
Really shifts the perspective.
Because, you know, you're always keeping track of your city council members.
Right. It's like, oh, I should run again. Right.
You should. The fact that you were drummed out of the council, I've always thought was wrong.
Thank you. I appreciate your support, as always.
But our movie is indeed going to be, we mentioned it before, Boat Trip.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
I have not seen it either.
So maybe we've been unduly harsh. Maybe it is actually positive. It's full of positive mess. A champion for homosexuality.
Yes, we'll go on the cinematic Mount Rushmore of gay films.
Yes.
Was it nominated for the Gay Palm?
It doesn't look like it was. Hmm. But it wasn't started until 2010.
Oh, so yeah.
But that's it. We'll see you next time. Stay safe, everyone. Get that shot. And goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.